Pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Coach couldn't wait to get it down here today. I can tell you that. I got hope in my heart today. I still got hope in my heart today. I specifically put this shirt on because I still got me some hope. Still got some hope. I better give you a clear, fair warning here today. I think if the Lord permits it, I think this is going to be one of those shows that going to rattle you a bit. And so I'll give you a fair warning as we get ready to roll here that if you are absolutely locked in, boxed in, hanging on to your theology, then you probably don't want to watch today. Just giving you fair warning. Because I'm going to touch on some stuff today that I think is just, your head's going to be spinning. So if you're just a comfortable Christian and you're happy just being a comfortable Christian, then I want to give you a fair warning. Then today's show may not be for you. Go ahead and turn on Joel Osteen or something like that to make you feel better. But those of you who tune into this show know that we are in a relentless pursuit of the truth. Don't always know the truth. In fact, I say that regularly. I don't know. I'm on a search for truth. But I know that over the past year and whatever we've been doing this stuff, I know that if I'm wrong, Larry will point it out or Tim will point it out. Or see, it's not always a matter of being wrong. It's a degree of understanding. And the Bible calls that a rhema word. When a word comes to you and all of a sudden say, wow, it comes to life in you. And I got to tell you, I can't unsee some things I've seen. I can't unsee it. And I can unlearn stuff that I'd learned. That's not hard to do. When you bring in new truth, Holy Spirit guides you into all truth. When new truth comes into your heart, it's great, man. It's like cleaning out your house. It feels good. And then now you got a hold of that new truth and you can move a different direction. So I'm going to shake some of your own pillars, some man-made pillars today. Not my design. I'm not here to try to confuse you. I'm not here to try to make you upset. I'm just trying here today to want to deliver you some truth. I want to do a tip of the cap to my buddy Big Rich. You guys know on Friday, Rich was going to drive out here and we're in the process. We're going to sell our home, build a home, yada yada yada. And Rich was out here about 3 weeks ago, and my daughter mentioned to him, who she's going to move into my house. My daughter mentioned that. We're going to put some wood flooring down and everything. And Rich said, "Why not? I can do that for you. I know how to do that." When somebody says something to you like that, you don't know whether you're taking them serious or whatever. And he said, "No, I'm serious." He put it on the calendar. Let's do it on this day. And we had to change it. And so Friday, Rich drives from Illinois, Granite City, St. Louis, actually, all the way out here. It's about 7 hours in his truck with all of his tools in the back end of it. He unloads his truck, sets it up in my garage. And Rich comes in, spends 2 hours. Rich is a big guy. 2 hours down on his hands and knees, laying this flooring in our house. Saved us $3,000-$4,000. I don't know. And I was having a conversation. Rich, I'm not making your head big. I was having a conversation with my wife. My wife said to me, honey, in your life, I'm 64 years old. She says, how many men do you have in your life that would do that? Man, oh man, Rich, I got to tell you. She said, would your brothers do that? Would your brothers drive 5 miles and do that? No, no, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't. Rich did it. And I just want to tip my hat. Rich, I'd do it for you. And that's the bond I believe that we're building here. We're either for each other or we're against each other. And they can call us a cult. They can call us whatever you want to. But Rich, faith without works is dead. And you showed me your faith. And brother, I just want you to know our family's grateful for it. I know you had fun out here. Roger took us out and bought us a great big old steak so big we couldn't hardly eat it. That was all good. But Rich is a busy guy. He's got a lot of things going on. Yet he set that time aside and came out here and put that floor down for us. So tip of the cap to you there, Rich. Want you to know we appreciate it, man. Really appreciate it. I put my Hillary shirt on because things are really breaking loose. There's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. And I don't know. I'm not going to talk about this today, but I think it's important that sometimes people have to say, I wonder what coach thinks. Not that that's a big deal, but I'll tell you what I think. I think, as I've been telling you from the very beginning, this isn't Republican, Democrat. This isn't conservative, liberal. This isn't any of that stuff. This is demonic world dominion type stuff that's going on in front of us. The New World Order bit, it's what's going on. And Donald Trump, what do they call that in that poker game? Donald Trump just went all in. He went all in yesterday. Now, you guys can think what you want to about him, and I'm not even here to debate it. That dude went all in yesterday. Now, say, Coach, what do you mean he went all in? Well, he accused the President of the United States of felonies. Openly did it. He didn't, as most guys say, he didn't allege it. He didn't insinuate it. He called it right out. So he took all of his, if Barack Obama did not wiretap the President of the United States, Trump's done. Do you guys know that? Do you understand that? If Donald Trump doesn't have, if Barack Obama did not do what they accused him of, Trump accused him of a felony worse than Watergate. If that did not happen, Trump's finished. But you know what? It did happen. It did happen. And so Trump, rather than sitting around allowing them to continue to leak all this Russian bull crap, keep dumping in the Russians, he went all in. He laid all his cards on the table and said, okay, you guys are making up this information, and here's where you're getting it from. Obama wiretapped me. Now, they're tap dancing around. They're doing everything at plausible deniability. President can't order a wiretap, and president had no knowledge, and all those crazy terms that they throw out there. It don't matter because Trump just called them, and now we're going to find out. The cards are now going to be laid on the table. And I don't know if you followed the story closely at all, but yesterday it became obvious. All the media began to back up. They had to admit that. See, they were saying that everything that was leaked out, the media has been saying everything that's leaked out's true. Everything's true. Everything's true. Everything's true. So what's Trump do? Says, oh, yeah, well, here, bang. How about this? Is this true? And all of a sudden, the media began to back up. Oh, we can't go without any evidence. This isn't based on any evidence. This is hearsay. He has so boxed them in. So boxed them in. And I saw that also Jeff Sessions made it very plain to Nancy Pelosi that he's going to investigate pedophiles. He's going to do it. Hey, guys, the ante just went up, man. I'm telling you, we are living in times like we have never, ever seen. And I don't know how it's going to play out. I don't know what this thing's going to look like. Donald Trump, President of the United States, accused the former president of violating the law through illegal wiretaps. Now, do you get the magnitude of this? Some of you just don't get it. You don't get it. While he's running for president of the United States, the opposing party is wiretapping him. And then after they found out there wasn't any evidence, this is according to Trump and his sources, after they found that there wasn't any evidence, they continued to wiretap it anyway. And what they were trying to do with this whole Russian story is set up Jeff Sessions and the other Flynn, set them all up, get them on recordings, and then knowing the evidence, create the fake story and trap them in the middle of it. It's exactly what they were trying to do. So have they done the same thing to Trump? Have they trapped him in? Have they set him up and trapped him in? Tell you this, boys, he knows a lot more than you and I know, a lot more than we know. And we are about to see something. Boy, oh boy. Buckle up. Buckle up. Because if what Trump said is true, if what he said isn't true, all hell's about to break loose. One of them is going down, Trump or Obama. One of them is going down. He laid the cards on the table. Texas, what do they call? Texas Hold'em? He held them. He went all in. And now we're going to see what happens as a result. A lot of, oh, my, that pedophile ring, all of that stuff, baby, it's all connected. Somebody out there certainly got a comment on it. Jump in here real quick before I shift gears and take you where I want to go today. What do you think, Sarge? What do you think, man? You understand those Washington snakes. What do you think, buddy?
Let the games begin.
Hey, Sarge, he's got something, doesn't he, buddy? He just didn't randomly text that thing out. He's got something.
Yeah, Mark Levin was on.
And saw that, man.
You see that? He's got copies of the FISA stuff. So if they got that, like I said, four aces is pretty tough.
Right there, Sarge. Right there, buddy. That's it. Now, it may not be 2016. Hey, guys. If he can get through, because you got to know this. He's going to snare some of his Republican buddies, too, brothers. This is going to be a coming apart like we ain't never seen. Michael, you lean forward. Kind of tells me you got something to say there or not.
This is what has been coming for quite some time. It's been in the offing, and it's being more and more revealed. And we're going to see some tribunals come up, too, about some of the stuff that's going on with Soros and all the other things. Yep, this is not over with. And they said that the first 2 or 3 months of Trump's presidency were going to be kind of rough, but we're going to get through it, and there's going to be some real turnaround and some change. And that's why the things that you're saying and the things that JR tries to do, we've got to keep pushing forward. Doesn't mean we got it all. We have to have everything answered and get all the battles taken care of. We've got to just keep pushing forward. The more you push forward, the more advanced the kingdom comes.
That's right, brother. It's about truth. And as I said just before we went on the air, our problem, Tim, is the church ought to be leading this, and the church is not. The church is laying low again. I got a video I could show you of my buddies that, I use that term lightly, loosely, abolish human abortion. They went to a pastor's conference, and they stood outside the event, and they handed out literature about abortion. And you should see the reaction of the pastors. Get the picture. Christian brothers handing out literature to pastors about abortion. You'd have thought, Rich, you'd have thought they were at that women's parade. Those pastors wanted nothing to do with that information on abortion. It was very, very telling. Hey, I was going to play that today, but it was about 9 minutes, and I thought we'd save it. We'll save it for another day. Yeah, go ahead, Georgia.
Hey, Coach, you know, the more I'm getting into this, I think some of the pastors, it's just being cowards.
Yep, but some of them.
On good port, and I can talk to you later about this, I think some of them are in collusion. I think some of them are in the same camp as the Paul Ryans and the Lindsey Grahams and the John McCain.
Yeah. Infiltration. Hey, Rich, what does that say in Titus? They must be shut up. Right, Rich? Isn't that what it said? They must be. It's our job. See, the only ones going to shut up the mouth of these lying pastors is us. We're the only one. Those of us in the church. See, understand, the left has already shut the mouth of the pastors. They've already done it. And our job is to open their mouths. Try to open their mouths. Try to get them to lead this fight for us, which they clearly, at this point, are not interested in doing. Anybody else before I go rolling down the highway here? Who's with us today? Roger. Hey, thanks for that big steak, Roger. Porsche, thanks. Just seeing who I got. Larry. Big steak, Roger fed us, and we had a good time with him.
Lest anybody not understand the biblical aspect of what's going on, the Bible clearly says when you know what is right to do and you don't do it, that's sin. And that's what most of the pastors out there find themselves, the position they find themselves in right now.
It's the unteaching. And you know, Jared made a comment, folks, before we went live. Jared made something every once in a while, Jared, you're so profound, man. Every once in a while, you come up with a great statement, and you just came up with one. And I made the statement off the air, and I'm going to make the statement now, publicly here. I've been fighting this fight since 2000. Started the ministry in 2003, but I've been on the front lines fighting this thing for a long time. And I've never seen movement. Hey, guys, I have not changed positions. I've not softened my stance. In fact, I've hardened it. I'm more radical now than I've ever been. And I'm seeing something happen that it's hard for me to explain unless you walk in my shoes. I am seeing people move towards, for the first time, people are moving towards my position, not away from it. More and more and more and more. Moving towards what I'm saying rather than away from it. You know why that is? Because they're sitting in the church and they see something's going on and their pastor isn't giving them any information for it. Pastor Bill Dunphy yesterday at the New Beginnings Church did a sermon. I should have grabbed his statistics. Here's what he said. I'm close. I could be missing it a little bit. Okay. Jared, I'll get to your statement here in a minute. Don't let me forget if I go down bunny trails. There are 119 million adult males in the United States, 119 million. That's guys, adult males, that's being those over the age of 18. With me? 119 million. Of those 119 million, 29 million claim to be Christians. 29 of the males now, adult males we're talking about. About 30%, 25% claim to be Christians. But then when you dig into that leaves like 69 million who are not Christians. But when you dig into the statistics that Pastor Bill used yesterday, of those 69 million American adult males, of the 69 million American adult males, you ready, Rich? 85% of those 69 million were churched as young people. Are you guys following what I'm telling you here? They're not in church anymore. 69 million American men from the age of 18 on up, 69 million men are no longer associated with any religious affiliation in America, but 85% of them were churched. Let that sink in a little bit. And ask yourselves, why is it the churches are hemorrhaging men? And as the churches hemorrhage men, who does their market become? Huh? Who does their market? Oh, there's my little sweetheart, Reese. Come over here. Say hi to everybody, Reese. So here, oh, my wife, God bless my wife. She took notes. There's my little granddaughter. You haven't seen her in a while. She stayed with Grampy last night. Wave to everybody, Reese. Tell them how much you love your Grampy.
I love my Grampy.
Atta girl. All right, sweetie. You can run now. Michelle wrote these down. Are you listening, Tim? This is unbelievable. 130 million men in the United States. 90 million are 18 years old or older. 26 million attend church. I was pretty close in the statistics I was giving you. 68 million refuse to attend church. Going to church is a choice, is it not? So 68 million men, or about 60% of American males, refuse to go to church. Why is that? Now hang on. 27 million read the Bible, at least casually. That means there's 67 million who won't read the Bible. Don't read the Bible. Men we're talking about. So we wonder why. Wouldn't you at some point begin to ask yourself, where are the men? Where are the men? And since we know that our friend Chad has told us this, are you ready about this? Uh-oh. 70% of those 113 million men, 70% regularly watch porn. So they're choosing porn over the Bible. And we wonder why we're so messed up. So Tim, why is your church full of women? Or maybe we ask it the other reason. Why aren't men in the church? Our friend Chad told us this. Your emotions will betray you. And most of Christianity and the religious programming in churches is emotional. Most of it is. And the emotional music and the emotional praying for each other and all that emotion draws women. And when the average guy standing beside you in the church and the women leading the praise and worship, or the men who look like women, somebody say amen, you know what I'm talking about, are leading the praise and worship, and they sing stuff like, open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus. The average guy sits there and has willies going up and down him. But he's there because his wife wants to be. And at some point, he leaves. He just can't take it anymore. Might even cause a divorce in his home. See, I can't go do that. I'm sorry, honey. I can't go do that. Can't do it. So you go to church, I'll watch porn. Wow. Huh? And because of that, our churches have become feminized. Pastors are now catering to women. Does this make sense, Tim? Jump in here, Tim. Come on, man. You is one. Explain that dynamic, Tim.
Well, the only thing I can say, Coach, is you got to remember that I got booted out of the Four Square Church for not submitting. So the leadership above me, when it comes to the president and all the other pastors I used to hang around with, thought that because you read verse by verse scriptures, you're too radical.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to say it one more time. It's all about money, that most pastors will not become tent makers. They will not be out there and rub elbows with people. So pastors are in their own little tiny cocoon in their building, shut out from the world.
Amen.
And it's tough, man. I'll tell you, if you're an average male and you try to make an appointment to meet a pastor, you're going to be put off 6 months.
Your brother, is that ever the truth? A man can't get to see his pastor, can't get to see him. I'm going to give a tip. I'm going to give a tip of the cap to Pastor Bill Dunphy. That's I consider Pastor Bill my pastor. I don't want to get into the pastor thing. Pastor Bill owns a construction business. He earns a living. And he pastors. That's what you're talking about, right, Tim? He earns a living. So when he stands in the pulpit, he doesn't really care what the women think. I mean, he'd like them to agree with him, but he's going to be able to feed his family. If they try to throw him out of the pulpit, he'll be able to feed his family. He'll be okay. But most pastors are tied to that salary. They're tied to it. They're not going to say anything. You know, they're trying to build a church, and they finally get over 100. The last thing they're going to do is say something's going to especially make the women mad, because the women are going to leave. But here's a startling statistic. Are you ready for this, Rich? I don't know how I got on this. George, Sarge, according to the statistics Pastor Bill said yesterday, we're putting a lot of money into youth ministries. If you hook a child when they are young, you know what the retention rate is? 3%. For every 100 young kids you hook, you're going to lose 97% of them when they get to college. You're going to lose them. Public school is a lot of reason. For every woman that you hook. So let's say that you go out and you minister to women and you want to bring women, you want to bring people into the church. So you go out with a ministry to change oil for women or do whatever, bring women into the church. Retention rate, you know what it is? About 17%. You'll keep about 17% of them. If you hook a man, if you really hook a man and you draw the man into the church, you know what the retention rate is? When you really hook a man, 93%. When you hook a man, 93 of them stay hooked. And you know what happens? Their family comes with them. And when dad comes to church, the wife comes to church, the kids come to church, and the kids are raised in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, they don't turn away from it. But pastors, rather than looking at the situation and saying, we got to get more men in here, they cater more to women. And Roger, I know that you would be hot on this one. At your church, the big church that you go to, what's the men's ministry there? What is it? What's the men's ministry? Let's have a breakfast every 16th Saturday and eat pancakes and talk about the Buckeyes. Yes or no? Yes or no?
Well, it's worse than that. We have very strong men who want to do something, who have attempted to do something, very little support. But yet yesterday I had one of the most stirring sermons on men involvement. I just do not understand it. The Bible clearly teaches as the family goes, you know, as a man goes, the family goes. And the studies today support that too. Don't get it.
And well, we're not after men.
Tim touched on the getting it part. Just follow the money. Now, back in 1900, your average $1 bill smelled like tobacco from being in a man's pocket. By 1970, 70 years later, you get a hold of your average dollar and you smell it. It smells like perfume from being.
Oh, Larry, that's good. I'm going to steal that one. That is the truth, isn't it? The dollar smells like perfume. That used to smell like shotgun shells and boots. Now it smells like perfume. Larry, that right there was worth your attendance on the show. If you never say anything else, because that is a picture that's been painted. And so the point I was making is there's a shift taking place. I'm telling you, fellas, there's a shift taking place. And the point that Jared made, I told you I was going to get back to the point that Jared made. Jared, I'll let you make the point rather than me misquoting it since you're here. Tell us, come up with that great, great story you just told me, Jared. They're trapped in sin and they do lie, but for the most part, Jared, they haven't been domesticated to the point where they call them the way they see them. Right? They call them the way they see them. Yep. Yep. And really, it ought to be guys like Big Rich and Sarge and Michael and Tim and Roger. We ought to be the ones calling them like we see them. If we weren't so concerned about loving each other and not offending everybody, if we weren't so concerned, hey guys, the men aren't in church. The men aren't in church. Rich, they're not in church. Why? See, those are the deplorables that when all of the evangelicals were saying they had to vote for Ted Cruz, those guys all went and voted for Trump. That's what we saw happen. And even right now, today, churches are not answering the call to anything that matters. So they're watching a bunch of porn. Probably some guys on here watching for 70%. It steals the heart right out of you, man. Pornography steals. You know why you do that? I think. This is dime store psychology. Right wing watch, maybe, I don't, this may not be good enough for you. By the way, we made them again on Friday. I don't know if you guys knew that. You know why men look porn? Because they're looking to be a man. And they're sissies and they're pushovers in every other area of their lives. So they can look at that porn and they can look at those young girls on there. And feel like a man. Make a connection. I don't have time for it. Not that I'm holier than thou. Not that I'm not tempted. Not that the pop-ups. Every time I put on a pop-up, now I got a. I was looking for something for. I don't even know how it happened. Looking for a night. That's what it was. Pajamas for my wife for Christmas. She wanted pajamas. So I go on Amazon or wherever it went, and I linked on there, looking at pajamas. I clicked on pajamas. And the next thing I know, for 6 weeks, pajamas keep popping up on Google. Every time I look, there's pajamas. And now something happened. I don't know what it is. It was happened to me around Valentine's Day. Now it's Victoria's Secret underwear. Every time I turn on something, there is a scantily clad woman in underwear pops up. So if you are weak at all in the flesh, man, I'm telling you, my eyes still work. You know what I'm saying, boys? I can see sugar when I see it. I know what it tastes like, sort of. Ain't that righteous? But if a guy doesn't have that, we don't even want to talk about that. Yeah, I mean, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. So I'm feeling good.
Hey, Dave.
Rich.
You know, them ads that pop up, it just gives us as Christians one more opportunity to tell ourselves no.
Makes you stronger every time you do, doesn't it? I look at that and say, that's somebody's daughter. That's somebody's wife. I'm going to be window peeping on somebody else's wife. That wife. Hope they're not doing that to my daughter. Hope nobody's looking in the window at my daughter's. But yet, I'll do it here on the porn. I'll do it on porn. That's somebody's daughter. And I'll watch that crap. Huh? That's what them pedophile monsters are all about. I spoke to my buddy John Robertson yesterday, John does all the scheduling and booking for the Hagman and Hagman Report. John is a Hollywood insider. I had quite a conversation with him yesterday about pedophile, and he says it is worse than you can even imagine. And John's going to come on here and talk with us here maybe one day, hopefully soon, maybe like Wednesday we'll get him in here. Okay. Anything else before hey, I move Coach, to – yeah, go ahead, George.
You know, Coach, there's a physical law out there that says a vacuum or nature abhors a vacuum. And yeah. So something is always to fill that void. And that you're so right. If us men aren't being filled with the word and around true believers and in true fellowship with Jesus Christ, it makes sense why it's being filled with all this other nonsense.
Yep. Yep, that's right. And so that's where we're looking for affirmation. We're affirmation. And I want to say this. Oh, Lord, do I have to do this? Okay. I'll do it. My wife keeps herself pretty. My wife keeps herself attractive. That's all I'm going to say about it. I'm not talking about whether they're overweight or I'm not. That's not even what I'm talking about. My wife keeps herself feminine and pretty, and it matters to her in the morning. What she looks like matters to her. And that all matters, man. Tim Tuber said, I must confess I saw porn. I watched Pelosi on CNN. That's right. Go ahead, Raj.
Real quick. The way I read the Bible, and I'm looking for guidance here. I've said 100 times to people that in the Bible, the vast majority of Jesus, his teachings, his guidance, the vast majority of the teachings in the Old Testament flowed through the male. Am I correct?
Jared, amen him on that one, Jared. Yep. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen.
We don't even teach it in the church anymore.
If I am correct, isn't that a concept, for lack of a better word, isn't that fact as important as the resurrection at times? Isn't it as important as love thy neighbor? Isn't it as important of, I could go on, but there is no acknowledgement of that anymore in the church, that everything flows through the male.
Well, why is that, Roger? Why is there no acknowledgement of it in the church?
Well, I think, in the denomination I go to, and there's male pastors primarily, I don't think they want control, and they don't want anybody challenging them. And that's how they control.
And that's true, but feminism has crept into the church, and therefore they dare not say that the man's above the woman. They dare not say that. This is the new age, man. This is the age of Aquarius. Not anymore. We're all equal. And so the man becomes emasculated in the church. I can name about 5. I started running through a list in my head yesterday with my wife as we were rolling down the highway. Name for me a masculine, manly pastor. How many can you name, Rich, off the top of your head? I don't have to go very far. It attracts weenies. It attracts weenies. Sorry, Tim. You ain't a weenie. That's why you didn't last. It attracts weenie. Sorry, Tyrell. I don't know if you're still with us there, man. You may have dumped off. I don't think you got scared. Yeah, Sarge.
You know, if you talk to any pastors who really understand what's happening around them, and I'm going to say something like what Micah said before, I think that the growth of Christians right now is in the remnant. It is outside the church. It is not inside the church. And this whole aspect that we have a hard time grasping is the growth is not in the brick and mortar. It is in the house Bible studies with 6 to 12 people. And I think that's where the strength of the future is going to end up. And like I said, I know a couple of pastors. I mean, they talk about this in their denominational meetings because they see it happening in front of them. They see the people who are leaving the church, especially the younger kids.
like Pastor Bill said yesterday, we talk about those coming in the front door, but we don't say much about those going out the back door. And it's leaking just as fast as they're coming in the front. And that's why they've tried to make the church more relevant and all that malarkey. And that's why we find ourselves in the stinking mess that we find ourselves. I'm tired of beating up on pastors. Let's move on. Hey, I know the guys on here. How many of you feel more manly today than you did a year ago? Huh? That's what it's about. I want to share 2 minutes of something. I want to share 2 minutes of a clip, Jared, that I just put it to you. It doesn't have a subject on it. It's on chemtrails. I keep hearing from people who want me to do more on the chemtrails. I'm going to show you 2 minutes, a minute and a half of a video taken from an airplane. I don't know whether it's Russian. I don't know what language it is. Above spraying. Go ahead and play that, Jared. Just so you guys don't think I'm crazy. So you don't think it. Well, I don't care if you do think I'm crazy. 2 minutes of it. Go ahead, Jared. A pilot films this. Contrails, right? Condensation. Again, this is taken from a pilot flying over the top of these guys who's spraying this stuff. Now ask yourself this. Why isn't the plane that's flying taking this picture? How come it's not leaving stuff like this behind it? Okay, Jared, you go ahead and shut that off. So there it is. Those kinds of things are all over. I'll get my nerve up here. Not nerve. Here's people say, well, why would they do that? That's tinfoil hat. Why would they do that? Wake up, dude. Wake up, dude. Weather manipulation, food poisoning, disease spreading. Lots of reasons. See, you think we're dealing with righteous people. Wake up, dude. Wake up, dude. Come on, man. We see the FBI lying. We see the CIA lying. They're doing lying publicly. We see the former president of the United States wiretapping an American. Wake up, dude. New world order, huh? Don't want to go there. Okay, here's what I promised. I only got 20 minutes. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Are you ready for it? Somebody, give me a thumbs up. If you can't take it, go ahead and get out of here. Go ahead and get out of here. Hey, Jared, let's go to Genesis 1. Guys, I want to open your eyes today. I'm not going to give you an in-depth study, although I'd like to. I'm not sure I'm capable of doing it yet. An in-depth study of we've been lied to. Leonard Ravenhill said this. You ready? He was a pretty well-respected evangelist. Here's what Leonard Ravenhill said. Satan's greatest ambassadors are not pimps, politicians, or power brokers. Satan's greatest ambassadors are pastors. Leonard Ravenhill. Because they teach us things that are not true. In fact, it's like playing telephones. You guys ever play telephone when you were young? You would say something to the person beside you, and they would say it to the person beside you, and go around the circle so that when it got clear back there, then that person tells you what the original thing was said, and it's not even anywhere near what it was. See, many churches are just playing telephone. They just repeat what somebody else told them without digging into the depths of it. So I'm going to show you something here. I want to talk a little bit about, here we go. Life on earth before Adam. The pre-Adamic world. Life before Adam. Now, I'm going to show you something. I'd heard it before. I'd heard it before, and I brushed over it. But it hit me this weekend, flat, dab, smack in the face. Can I just give you, I'm just going to give you what I got, okay? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, one of the things that they will tell us in, one of the things they will try to teach us is what they call the gap theory. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. The earth was void, that was form, without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Boom! Gap theory. Tim, can you explain the gap theory to me? Good theologian that you are. Not support it. Can you explain it?
Well, the only thing I can tell you is that the gap theory says that from the at the beginning of Genesis 1, that there is a whole creation, and we have no idea what it was, the angelic host. And you can go to megaliths and study all that kind of stuff. And then we made Adam. But there was a whole fallen angelic host.
But there's a lot of them, Tim, though, a lot of them don't even go there. You're well advanced. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Then they say there's a gap. And in that gap, they would, it could be evolution. It could be a lot of things that happened in that gap. We don't know what happened in the gap. So most churches believe what is called the gap theory. A lot of them do. The Bible says it. I believe it. And that settles it. Yet, we look like fools because they produce for us rock strata that says, well, million years old. Or stars are how many light years away? How many light years away? Certainly more than 6,000 years. And so the physics that we see around us doesn't line up with what the Bible teaches us. And so a lot of times we have trouble in this whole debate over creationism and all that. We have trouble with it because ultimately we have to say, I don't know, but I just know that God did it. Well, good for you. But that ain't good enough. Do you guys think that's good enough to be able to say, well, I don't know, but I believe God did it. Well, somebody believes Santa Claus too. So this is what hit me in the face. The Greek, the original meaning of words. I'm going to blow your mind here. I'm going to blow your mind, I think. Jared, bring up the first one that says, hayeta. Wow, this is, make this big so everybody can see it. Genesis 1. Verse 2. Can you guys see this? I think you can see it. If not, I'm going to read it to you. This is an Englishman's concordance. The word hayeta occurs 111 different times in the Bible. Hayeta, hayeta. And it shows you all 111 different occurrences. And the word hayeta is, and the earth was without form. That term was is heyete or whatever it is. Are you guys following what I'm saying? The word was is actually heyeta. Now, Jared, if you click up the other, maybe we can do this simultaneously. Wait a minute. Okay, hang on. Stay right there with me, Jared. Don't bring it up there. So let's look at, and the earth hayata without form. And the earth hayata without form. You guys following me what I'm showing you here? Okay, now let's watch this. If we follow down all the times that the word hayata is used in the scriptures, look what it says in Genesis 3, verse 20. It says, because he hayata become was the mother of all. Go down to Genesis 29:17. Scroll down there, Jared. 29:17. We're weak. Rachel became or become. Genesis 36:12. Hayeta. Timnah become or became a concubine. Genesis 38, all the way down 111 times, Hayeta is most often translated as become or became. You can all look down through them. See all of them. Become, became, became, became. It became a proverb. Become a woman and become the kingdom. Become. Do you see that, guys? Do you see what? Do everybody understand what I'm saying? Okay. I'll send all this. You can check Proverbs. Proverbs. Where was that, Jerry? You went so fast on me. Proverbs. There it is. 119. This has become mine that I observe. Hayata. Likewise, has become. Become sureship. Ecclesiastes. A burial not happen. Not wrong one. Hebrews. City has become a harlot. How has become. Hayata. Become, became. With me? Jared, pull back up Genesis. Genesis 1. And the earth was, verse 2, and the earth was, I'm sorry, where am I? And the earth, where it says was, that is Hayeta. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth became without form and void. Now, form without form and void is another word called hotu and batu. Tohu and bohu. Jared, click on Genesis 1:2. Now, here it is as we just laid it out there. Can you guys see this screen okay? It starts over here on the right. It says, and the earth was, and darkness, and do you see that? And the spirit of the deep, the face was on, and darkness and void without form. And those words are, if you look up at the top, void was bohu, okay? And without form was tohu. Bohu and tohu. Are you with me? The earth was bohu and tohu. Meaning, stay with me now. And the earth was without form and void. Was bohu and tohu. What are you saying, Coach? Go back to Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth became without form and void. The earth was here. Something happened. The earth became with bohu and tohu, chaotic, without form. Everything was messed up. And darkness was upon the face of the earth. And then look what happened. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. What happened, guys, right there? What happened there? I think this is telling us that there was a earth already here that became void and without form, and darkness was upon it. And then the Spirit said, I'm going to clean this mess up, and started it again. Do you see why this makes so much sense? And so we begin to think about, I'm so tired of explaining why a rock looks 6 million years old when we say, well, that's impossible because the earth's only 6,000 years old. I get so tired of having to explain that. I get so tired of looking at science and what science tells us and to say, well, that can't be true. That can't be true. There's only 6,000 years old. Well, was it really? Or was the earth in the beginning? When was the beginning? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was void, became, the earth became bohu and tohu. It became chaotic. Jared, go back to that term, bohu and tohu. Anybody think I'm nuts yet? There they are. See where it says, and do you see void is the word bohu? See right above it? Bohu. And do you see right beside it without form? Tohu. Now, Jared, let's make this really simple for him. Click on bohu. Click right on that blue, bohu. Yeah, just ought to pop up there for us. What's bohu? Void. 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 Every time you see bohu, it's void. Click back, Jared. Let's click on tohu without form. Formless without form. Empty space. Desolation. Chaos. Do you see this, guys? Do you see this? God created the heavens and the earth as they were created, and it was chaotic. And he said, starting this thing all over again. Starting this all over again. So what is, Coach said, what are you saying? I want you to think about the possibility of a pre-Adamic world, that the world was here before Adam. Kevin put over here on the side, church, schools, fraternities, don't ever forget it. Gap theory, Pember, it existed and then became a void. I think he's stating there is a time between 1 and 1 and 1 and 2. The time could be short or long, even millions of years, meaning God likely took earth away from the fallen angels due to mismanagement. And Satan sat in darkness when he lost his dominion until Adam was brought into a new earth in 1:3. Oh, man. What do you think, Tim? Somebody jump in here.
Well, I got one for you, Coach. This is one study. So, if in Genesis 1 it says, my seed, right? Adam and Eve seed, right? The whole study.
Right.
If it is true that somehow the human race was infected by Satan, and we're all talking about the DNA, a fallen of Satan and mankind and the whole DNA. If we really have been infected with sin, if we really are truly a fallen race, and Jesus Christ came in to redeem us, then when we get born again, something happens. We are new creatures in Christ, the Bible says, that when the Holy Spirit comes in, it affects us. And now that DNA or that satanic stuff gets wiped away.
Amen.
We become holy.
Amen.
I mean, what is that about? What is that about when we get born again?
Mm-hmm.
It is powerful.
It is powerful because you become a new creature, it says, right? You become a new creature.
What is that about?
What is that about? Rich?
Yeah, you know, when as you're going through this, I've always, you know, I put light and truth as the same thing usually. I mean, because when you shed light on, you're just bringing out the truth. So when it says it was void, it was without form. So it was chaos and void.
It became that way. It was created, but it was created that way and became void and without form.
But void of what? The verse 3 tells you. And God said, let there be truth.
Right. Yep. Truth.
And there was truth.
Amen. 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 And so this whole thing of Satan falling down onto the earth and all that stuff, when did that be? When did that happen? What do you mean? That all happened after Adam? Tim, it didn't happen after Adam, didn't. It didn't happen after Adam, the falling of Satan and all, because Satan was already there in the garden, wasn't he? Wasn't he already there? So this idea that everything that we've been taught all throughout history, that everything began with Adam and Eve, boys and girls, this strengthens my faith. It doesn't weaken it. It strengthens it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth went to pot. It just went to pot. And it went dark. And God said, daggone, I had enough of that. And the Spirit moved upon the face of the earth, and God said, let's lighten this place up. And he started creating. Stuff began to happen. So now when somebody tells me that rock is 200 million years old, I don't cringe anymore. Isn't this liberating? To me, it's liberating. Now, do I know for sure? I don't know for sure. I don't have time now. I got queued up here. Seven legendary lost worlds. Huh? You know any Atlantis? Was there really an Atlantis? Was there really? Hey, Sarge, what the heck are they messing with down in Antarctica? Is there something buried down there?
Wouldn't we all like to know?
Wouldn't we all like to know? What's with all these pyramids? They don't have any idea how these pyramids were built. Are you kidding me? Some of these lost ruins and all this mythology and all this stuff we've heard about. We say, well, if it didn't happen within the last 6,000 years, oh, no. Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. Not for me. Not for me.
Heaven knows they're not talking about the monuments up on Mars either.
Ones that they've just, hey, Sarge, quit muddying the water here. I'm trying to get these people straightened out just to hear on good old Earth. So now, with the possibility, George, that there was a world here before God recreated man and started this whole thing over again, this human race, we don't know if the people came before us were human. We don't know if they were even people. We don't know, but we have all kinds of evidence that something was here, and we want to deny that it's like we're CNN. We don't want to look at that because that doesn't fit our way of thinking. And so we become blinded to this. And when in fact it ought to strengthen our faith and encourage our faith. The God is in such control. He destroyed all that. Not only did he, not only did he destroy with Noah, he had destroyed it before. It had been destroyed before. And all the material still left here.
Hey, Coach, let me say something. Go back to the pastoral thing. We forget that Timothy tells us that the pastors are the ones that are going to shipwreck the faith. There's nothing new. So when you're talking about pastors and not preaching the word, Timothy already told us that's going to happen. And yep. Our households. I mean, we've been told this. So why is it such a shock to us?
Well, let's go to Titus. Rich's new favorite verse. Let's go to Titus. Where is it here? I got to find old Titus. New Testament, by the way. It's one of those New Testament books you hardly ever talk about. Verse 10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped. Tim, somewhere in the scripture doesn't say, in vain they worship me after the traditions of men. In vain do they worship me, keeping the traditions of. See, we're keeping the traditions of men. Traditions of men rather than truth. I don't know about you. If I never turned on the internet, I believe everything my pastor taught. And if I went to Pastor Tim's church, I might get a different version of the truth. Because we are all programmed. And the toughest thing about Christianity is the unprogramming. Not the learning of stuff that's false. Because that's easy. Once truth comes to you, the falseness goes out the window. But the programming of that false theology, doctrine, whatever you want to, push down into the generations. We started out by talking about guys aren't going to church. Can you imagine if we started in our churches to teach this stuff, pre-Adamic race and Atlantis and all this stuff and Nephilim and DNA and the real battle that's going on, men would not be able to get enough of it. They would get up early on the morning on Sunday to try to get to church and learn more about it. Instead, we want to teach them how to be women. Love everybody. Hug everybody. Forgive everybody. Reach out to everybody. Somebody wrap me up here. We're about done. Oh, it's 8 o'clock. Okay, so what do you do? Okay, here. Trust but verify. Google it. Go to your internet and put in pre-Adamic race. Pre-Adamic world. Pre-Adam world. And you will be tied up for the rest of your life. And your eyes are going to go, oh my goodness. Now I get it. Shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it, it's going to make you free. Russ Dizdar tomorrow. We'll dive into this a little bit with Russ tomorrow as well. We got some great stuff coming up ahead of you. Listen, trust but verify. Don't believe it just because I said it. Dig the truth out for yourself. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you.